President Donald Trump's recent tweet about plans to deport millions of illegal aliens has put immigrants across the nation on edge. A Catholic deacon in western Kentucky says the administration's comments about deportation have put the Hispanic community in the region on alert. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Rhonda Miller. Deacon Christopher Gutierrez is director of the Hispanic Ministry for the Diocese of Owensboro that covers 32 counties in western Kentucky. There are about 30,000 Hispanic residents in the diocese, according to the 2010 census. Gutierrez says some families in the diocese have members who are undocumented, so President Trump's announcement about deporting millions of illegal immigrants has put them on alert.
This goes through, you know, Telemundo and Univision on TV, so they're very aware of what's going on. And so, yes, there is that fear factor.
Gutierrez says so far Hispanic families are continuing to take part in community activities, but if agents from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, begin to make arrests, many immigrants will stop going to public places for fear of being deported. Gutierrez says he recently volunteered at the Mexican border with the Diocese of Laredo, Texas, and every day he assisted immigrants fleeing gangs and violence that put their lives in danger. In Bowling Green, I'm Rhonda Miller. State environmental officials have tracked down the cause of a recent fish kill in southern Kentucky to a cattle feedlot in Logan County. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Rhonda Miller. The State Division of Water found low oxygen and high levels of E. coli in water samples from the Gasper River and Clear Fork Creek when the fish kill occurred in late May. Spokesman for the Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet, John Mura, says those water samples led to the Woodward feedlot in Auburn. Mura says three areas of noncompliance are in the notice of violation issued to feedlot owner Wade Woodward.
The first violation is that the facility failed to implement an effective agriculture water quality plan. Because of that, runoff was observed to enter Clear Fork Creek. The second violation was allowing the pollutants to enter and to contribute to the pollution of the waters of the Commonwealth. And the third violation was that those pollutants degraded the water of the Commonwealth.
The notice of violation says an animal carcass in an advanced state of decay was found on the feedlot. Woodward has to immediately stop allowing pollutants to run off into the waterways and within 30 days submit a water quality plan. In Bowling Green, I'm Rhonda Miller. The 2019 count of the homeless, coordinated by Kentucky Housing Corporation, shows that about 4,000 people were in shelters, transitional housing, or living outdoors on a designated day at the end of January. In 2018, about 3,700 homeless were counted across Kentucky, and in 2017, that number was about 3,400. Shay Raybould is the state coordinator for K-Count. She says only about 13% of the people counted are considered chronically homeless. The others could not afford housing because of the loss of a job or other financial crisis.
When you look at homelessness, there are a lot of people who become homeless at one point throughout the year for whatever reason, but it's not always reasons that we might assume in a stereotypical way, which are related to drug and alcohol abuse or mental illness.
Raybould says an important factor in addressing the issue of homelessness is for communities to develop the right mix of affordable housing, especially one-bedroom apartments, because that's what's often required for a single homeless person to get assistance through federal programs. The state count is required to apply to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for funding for homeless programs. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. Two restaurants in Bowling Green, Kentucky, are opening their doors on Thanksgiving Day to offer free meals to the community. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Rhonda Miller. The message from Teresa's Restaurant and Lisa's Fifth Street Diner is that giving is the heart of Thanksgiving. The two Bowling Green eateries are expecting to serve a combined total of close to 1,000 free meals tomorrow. Heather McGuffey is owner of Teresa's Restaurant on Gordon Avenue. She says the restaurant served 400 free Thanksgiving meals last year, and they're thinking bigger this year. McGuffey says her family and the restaurant crew are preparing enough food for 500 people, and the guest list is everyone who walks through the door.
We expect anybody that has nowhere to go, no food to eat, homeless, customers, friends, family, it doesn't matter. We expect them all.
Teresa's will serve from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 on Thanksgiving Day. Lisa's Fifth Street Diner served 350 meals last Thanksgiving and is planning to increase that to 450 this year. The Fifth Street Diner will begin serving at 11 a.m. and will keep serving until 1:30 or until the food runs out. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller.
For WKU Public Radio, I'm Barbara Deeb. A dozen women in the Davis County Detention Center are rehearsing for a March 26th performance that's part of the Owensboro Symphony's Music on Call Community Engagement Program. Rhonda Miller reports the symphony got a grant from Owensboro Health to bring a choir director into the jail and have the inmates bring the music back into the community.
I've been walking the same old road for miles and miles.
One woman in this choir at the Davis County Detention Center who says she's no longer planning to walk the same old road that landed her in jail is 54-year-old Jennifer Blaisdell. She says she's finding a new path, including singing with a group for the first time.
I'm the only one for myself who came. I tried to get a couple other people to come. They're like, oh, I can't sing. Neither can I. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I tell you what, this has been the most uplifting thing. I've been here 3 months to the day, and this is probably the most uplifting day I've had.
Blaisdell says singing with the group is giving her a chance to express gratitude.
God has given me so much. You know what I mean?
I think people might say, here you are in the detention center, and you just said, God has given me so much.
Yes.
And they would say, what do you mean by that?
Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy.
Blaisdell says some things she lost are now being returned.
My children, you know, they're grown and have families of their own. And now I talk to them, text them back and forth, and they send me pictures of my grandkids, and I miss them.
You didn't see them before?
Mm-mm. And today I do.
30-year-old Amber Stepp says her life was spinning out of control and being in jail stopped the downward spiral.
I mean, I can honestly say jail has saved my life.
That's right.
I was IV drug user, about died several times, and I'm truly blessed to be sitting here alive right now.
Chaplain Emil Herzog is part of the national nonprofit Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. Herzog says he launched the inmate choir program several years ago, and the value is obvious.
I can tell on their faces that they're glad to be together and singing. There's just something about singing.
Research confirms that something about singing is good for mental and physical health. McGill University neuroscientist Daniel Levitin, author of the book This Is Your Brain on Music, said singing releases endorphins, the feel-good chemicals in the body that reduce stress, anxiety, and depression. Singing with a group has also been shown to release oxytocin, a hormone that produces a sense of bonding with others, like when a mother bonds with her baby. Herzog says the choir's performance at the spring banquet is not just a benefit for the inmates.
I think it's an encouragement to the community, too, that they like to see what's going on behind the walls.
Art Maglinger is the Davis County jailer.
A few years back, I attended the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry Banquet, and that was the first time I got to hear the ladies singing in the choir, and I'm very supportive of it. I think it's a great program.
Kathy Mullins is the choir director contracted by the Owensboro Symphony to lead the jail project.
Music is a gift, and music gives hope. It brings life. And so we are so fortunate and blessed to have a jailer open to this program and to bring music in and see the smiles and the love and the life and the tears and the laughter. We become a family.
29-year-old Anna Gamble says the performance at the banquet reminds people outside the jail that we're all part of the human family.
We get to be able to show the community that although, yes, we are wearing an inmate shirt right now, mm-hmm. we mess up, you know? But it doesn't mean that we're not children of God. It doesn't mean that we're not in here living.
Gamble says the singing speaks for itself.
It sounds literally amazing. We are God's choir right now.
That's right.
We're shining.
Gamble and the others in the choir say in between the weekly rehearsals, they're going to keep singing. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller.